Welcome to Are You Real Linked? A journey together toward a deeper, more authentic connection with God and with others. Through teachings of prayer and faith, our common stories of business, relationships, and personal growth will give you the direction you need to truly feel linked with the lost, hopeless, and hurting to help restore your community. Now please welcome your host, Christy Austin.
Hello, Roar Nation. This is Christy Austin from Aiken, South Carolina, your host of Are You Real Linked? A new podcast for a new year is what we're doing here. And super excited to be with you for our third Are You Real Linked podcast, Connecting to Deeper Faith. No worries, you can still hear from Are You Real host, John Fuller, every Wednesday. You can download his podcast on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast, but I encourage you to do that. And also check out the new team members. We have Are You Real Success, Are You Real Business, and Are You Real Creative, Are You Real Fit. And amazingly, these are men and women who are really experts in their area. And some of this stuff that we're getting, I don't know about you, but I have really enjoyed it. And it's amazing, really, all the information and the tips and the knowledge that they're giving us really for free. And so our heart on Are You Real is really to equip you as his church to be able to go into your culture and into your mission field, wherever that is for you, and into your place of employment. But you know what? We want you to make it. And we not only want you to make it, but we want you to thrive, okay? And so that's why we do what we do here on Are You Real? The podcast, Are You Real Linked? What we're learning together is how to get linked with the Holy Spirit and effectively bring change into our community. The last couple podcasts, we've talked about our identity because I do believe, and I know you feel the same, that the church is in an identity crisis. And the reason the church is in an identity crisis is really very simple, because we just don't know our identity and our authority. And in order to be the real you in faith and to be authentic, we have got to know who we are and the authority that we've been given in Christ. And so we've been on a journey this month, starting off the new year, out of Luke 10, because as we go into thinking about how can we really impact our culture and how can we bring a shift in our communities and in our cities, what does that look like? There's no greater example than what we find in Luke 10. And this is where Jesus really appoints the apostles to go into the cities, and he gives very specific instructions. And so really interesting, we're just kind of going through that and hearing all of the tips and the keys that he has for us. And so I hope that you have been challenged, and I hope that you've taken those challenges. I'll tell you what, there's so many places in our city where I've had the opportunity to demonstrate some of these. I do a Pilates class a couple times a week and do different things here at our local gym. And interestingly, one of the greatest opportunities that I've seen to connect with people is after my workout, as I'm standing there in that gym locker room, ironically, okay, you know, getting ready for the day and getting ready to head on into work and all those things, that has been one of the greatest avenues to just serve people and to talk to them and get to hear their story and really demonstrate some of these things that we're talking about in Luke 10. The other day, I was able to pray over a woman who's having surgery, a young girl. She's a single mom with 5 kids and she's facing surgery. And I was able to pray over her. And she said that she had never felt anything like that before. She wasn't, from my knowledge, she wasn't a Christian. And so as I prayed, I just felt God's presence. And I asked her, I said, hey, are you feeling that? And she said, yeah, I am. She said, it's totally hot from the top of my head and it's just running down. And she really felt his Holy Spirit. And that served as a testimony to her as she's getting ready to face some of these unknown days. And that's some of the most beautiful moments for me, is just everyday, ordinary moments where you can be authentic in your faith and you can show others what that looks like and demonstrate that to them. And I believe that is how we are going to win our world. That's how we're going to return hope to communities. And that is how we are going to demonstrate God's love. And so I challenge you to continue in that. And today, I really just want to continue on in the journey of Luke 10. We've talked about several significant keys in our identity, the last two podcasts, which you can catch those. But today we're really going to go on, because what I want to talk about today is something that is so critical to getting linked with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, I don't believe that you can get linked with the Holy Spirit without this component. It is the vehicle to get linked with the Holy Spirit. There is nothing apart from this, okay? And so really, when we get down to verse 2, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out, apostelloing you out." If you heard back on podcast number 1, you can catch that, what that word means. But he is sending us out, and that sending, if you remember, we're literally mirroring the sender. So we have the same power and authority as the one who sent us, much like an ambassador or a ship that goes out, an envoy on behalf of a country to take or to capture a nation. That is who the church was created and called to be, an envoy of people who rise up and take back ground in the kingdom. That's who we're called to be. And so as we come to the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, the amazing thing is Jesus was so brilliant, of course, as we know, but he taught a lot in parables. Proverbs actually means parables. And what it is it's basically a parallel. So if you can kind of envision railroad tracks, okay, two railroad tracks together, they parallel each other. All right. And so Jesus often taught in parables because in order for his crowd to get it, he really wanted them to hear parable, which is literally paralleling the physical and the spiritual. And so when we talk about things like the spiritual and about faith, we know that we can't see that. We can't see faith. That's not a tangible reality. And so Jesus talked in the physical about things that paralleled in the spiritual. And so basically he's giving a physical parable or a parallel here, saying the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Okay, what's he talking about? Well, of course, we know he's talking about the lost. He's talking about lost souls that we as laborers or as the church are to go out and to collect that harvest, much like they did back in the day as farmers. Okay, what I really want you to catch that I think is so fascinating is Jesus does not say specifically to pray for the harvest. He does not say that in this passage. He says the harvest is plentiful. You don't have to worry about the harvest. It's there and it's there in abundance. We don't specifically need to pray over the harvest to be bountiful. The harvest is already abundant. But what he's saying is that the workers are few. And so the very next sentence gives us so many keys. It's so significant because it says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And what I want you to catch today is that word for ask is a Greek word called diomai, which means to pray. And this isn't just an ordinary praying, you guys. The diomai means to have a want, to desire, to long for, to beg. And this particular form of prayer is really a begging or a crying out to say, there is nothing in me as a human that is capable of doing this. And God, if you do not come through and do what only you can do, this could never happen. All right. And in a minute here, I'm just going to talk about what the other forms of prayer are, because I want you to kind of just have a feeling of what that is. But more than anything, I want you to hear this. We are to pray of the harvest. How? We're to pray for the laborers, because the harvest is abundant, but guess what? The laborers aren't abundant. And it sounds like from the parable that there's much more harvest than there are laborers. Have you ever been there? I know I have. You know, working in different restaurants over the year, I've done serving and bartending at some restaurants and managing and all those good things, and don't necessarily miss those days, although I loved them because I thought it was some of the greatest avenues really to demonstrate some of the stuff that we're talking about and just be love to people. However, you know, there was nothing like coming into work and being understaffed, okay? Not having enough workers for the needs and the demands and the number of tables that were there being filled. And so what happens is somebody gets left behind and the work isn't all able to get done. I mean, we can all push and do extra work and that's fine. And even in that, people get burned out and exhausted, which I think is very significant of where much of the church finds herself today. However, at some point, something gets dropped, right? And something gets left behind. And so Jesus is brilliant in the fact to say, pray for the laborers, pray for the sending out to get the harvest, which is automatically abundant. Okay. So what I want you to catch is that there's four Greek words mainly for the word prayer. Okay. And I want you to just hear these really quickly, because when you hear the contrast, you know, why did the author use this specific prayer? Okay. Well, we know he used the word for a reason. And in our English language, we don't have a lot of richness and nutrients to our words. Let me give you an example. In the English, we have one word for love. In the Greek, there's four words for love: agape, phileia, stori, and storge. And so we know all of those mean different things. Agape is unconditional love. Eros is a very romantic love. I forgot that one. Very romantic is where we get our word erotic. Storge is a friendship kind of love. Phileo is a brotherly kind of love. It's where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, okay? So we say, I love pizza, I love my husband, I love my job, I love purple, I love to snow ski. Okay, we say love in a variety of contexts. And so what I want you to recognize is that the Greek and the Hebrew are really interesting to look at. Why? Because they give very detailed descriptions. So the author used this exact word for prayer. We got to look at what the other forms of prayer mean. So the first one is deesis, D-E-E-S-I-S. And what that means is supplication or a request for prayer. All right. If I'm praying for somebody because they lost their husband, that's this form of prayer. It's a very, very specific kind of request. And this was used all throughout the Bible, but let me just give you a quick example. When Zechariah and Elizabeth were crying out for a baby because they couldn't have one, the Lord says, I have heard your request. All right. The angel comes and says, the Lord has heard your request and he's going to grant it. That's the form of deesis. That's a particular need. The next form of prayer is called prosuke, and that is prayer in general. It's a simple talking to God. If you've ever read anything by Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of God and just talking to God while you do the dishes and while you drive down the road, practicing the presence of God, we're just simply conversing with them. When Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, that word for prayer is our word prosuke, which means simply a conversation. So he's upset because he's saying this temple is supposed to be a house of prayer where people come in and converse with God, but you have made it into a den of robbers because they were selling things there. All right. So first one is deesis, which is a supplication or specific need. Then we got prosuke, which is kind of a talking or conversing. And the last one that we look at is this word for diomai. And diomai is a specific one because it's very much of a prayer that indicates, God, if you don't come through, I'm totally sunk. There's nothing in my human ability that can do this. It's very much of a begging, very intense type of word. And so that is actually our word in the passage. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Diomai, or ask or beg the Lord of the harvest how to send out workers into his harvest field. And so interestingly, when we talk about how can we make a cultural impact, how can we affect our city and our community through authentic faith, it is specifically through prayer. We cannot get linked with the Holy Spirit, and we cannot get linked in our community apart from prayer. We have to cry out, and it's in the prayer where the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to us, and of course, we speak to the Lord. And so what I want you to catch is this is a significant and critical component to reaching our communities and to reaching our city, is to pray, to ask the Lord for the laborers. And so one of my favorite things is really just to encourage the laborers. And of course, it's why we're here week after week, encouraging you. And our heart is simply that you feel encouraged as laborers in the field week after week to go and to collect the harvest that's already abundant and it's already before you. Well, how are you going to do that? By the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All right, by operating in these fruits, we naturally share love. When you love your enemies, that is agape love. There is nothing in me that can love someone who has betrayed me. It is only through his supernatural love that I can do that, because you know what I feel like doing, right? I'm sure it's what you feel like doing too. And so when we have joy in the midst of suffering, when we have peace in the midst of some of the greatest trials of our life, death, whatever it is, when we have that peace, someone looks at us and says, that is not humanly possible. All right, healing the sick, that is not humanly possible. That is only through a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And the only way to get linked with the Holy Spirit is through prayer. And also, as a side note, to pray for the laborers to be released into your cities and into your community and into your nation. And so I challenge you today to greater depths of prayer in your own life, in one of these things, practicing his presence, crying out, but also to encourage the laborers that are already there. How? Well, Luke 10 tells us to pray. And so I am grateful to have you with us once again. I pray that you, as the Roar Nation, feel blessed and that the Lord divinely downloads strategies for you today to reach your city and community as you are real and authentic faith. Please feel free to look us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We would love to hear from you and get to know you more on areyoureal.org. Until we meet again, remember, rest in his love, dance with great joy, and aspire to go higher each day. I love you. Be blessed today.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Linked, and encourage you to visit areyoureal.org for more resources based on today's episode, as well as links to more Christian podcasts in our network and the inspiration to help you enkindle everyone around you. God bless and good day.